with a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Michael, do you know who Wilyer Abreu is?
Who?
Exactly. Well, unless you're big in the Astros minor league stuff, Wilyer Abreu is one of the players traded for Christian Vasquez.
Ah.
Vasquez, who was part of the 2022 World Series team.
That's who it is.
Yes, that guy.
That guy.
He was traded to the Red Sox. There's another notable former Astro on that team right now. We had a big night last night. But Wilyer Vasquez is off to a great start this year. 483, three home runs, 12 RBIs, 14 hits. He's hot, hot, hot. As I said, Bregman was great in the game last night as well. Of course, we know Kyle Tucker got off to a hot start. And, you know, it doesn't feel as bad because the Astros won two out of three against the Twins. So I'll ask you this because it became a bit of a debate. Because a Red Sox fan tweeted out 3 months of Vasquez for Wilyer Abreu. Because Vasquez was set to be a free agent. Of course, he became a free agent. The Astros didn't resign him. So I will give you some of what Christian Vasquez did in the playoffs. And you tell me, would you rather have the power hitting right fielders off to a great start as he's getting going in his MLB career? Or would you rather have the guy who was a part of this?
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay.
Lay it out for me.
Christian Vasquez in the 2022 season, in that World Series title run, he caught that combined no hitter. Now, of course, you would say, could someone else have caught that? We'll never know because it was him. Also, he had a big two-run single in the game. They won 5-0 against the Yankees in the ALCS. He also tacked on a run in the game that Yordan hit the big home run to give the Astros lead. He tacked on a run to make it 4-1. So there's nothing to say others couldn't have done it, but he did do it. So he had big moments in that 2022 season. Now, I ask you this. Would you rather have Wilyer Abreu, considering the black hole that is right field right now, and what he has become, at least so far in his young career, 25 years old, for the Red Sox, or do you take Vasquez not knowing whether someone else could have been in that spot doing those things? Because you do win a title.
True, but I go youth in this case. I go with the like Christian Vasquez, like he had his moments, like you said, but I rather go with the potential, like the higher ceiling of Abreu.
I would agree. I don't know that the Astros would have thrown a no-hitter without him, but I don't know that they wouldn't have either.
Right, exactly.
Does the fourth run, in the game six mean more than having Wilyer Abreu? Does he tack it on and that crushes the Phillies' hopes? We will never know. If it's 3-1, do the Phillies still think they have a chance? And with the fourth one, they don't? I don't know. That's all hypotheticals. But considering the strength of that Astros team, if you could have acquired a different backup catcher without giving up Wilyer Abreu, at least the Wilyer Abreu I'm seeing right now, for the 3 months of Vasquez, I think I'm taking Abreu. I think I've taken him.
I kind of lean towards that.
And I'm just going to assume, and maybe I'm wrong about it, that the Astros win a World Series whether Vasquez is on that roster or not. Sorry. I like that club, with or without him. But there it is. I mean, we've had that in this town before where Jeff Bagwell got traded from the Red Sox to the Astros. And, of course, Hall of Famer.
That worked out pretty well.
That's a guy who will be a legend in Astros history. As far as Wilyer Abreu, we'll never know. Actually, that's not true. We will know because we'll be able to watch his career. But
we'll watch his career from afar.
And I'm in Astros Hall of Famer. Just to clarify, I know people, Astros Hall of Famer.
Yeah, calm down.
Yeah, everyone. Astros Hall of Famer. Of course, we know the accomplishments that that bag will achieve while he was here. So that's just a little, because we're doing the Tucker tracker. We do the Tucker trade tracker. We see how the players who were traded for Tucker will do throughout the week, and we compare it to what Kyle Tucker has done. I'm just going to tell you, Michael, last week, Dana Brown didn't win the trade.
Oh, for a week.
Just for a week.
Okay, for a week.
Of course, Cam Smith will have plenty of time to prove Dana Brown right. Wesneski didn't pitch well. Paredes struggled last week. So I'm not going to do the Vasquez Abreu tracker.
That's one too many trackers at that point.
Yeah, but I did see it come up, and I thought to myself, the hypotheticals of who could have contributed like Vasquez did, or you have Abreu, I think I'm taking Abreu.
Yeah, I lean toward. I mean, the way they've gutted the minor leagues, you know, product. I don't know. I'm a little frustrated. That's all.
And some of it is because of their willingness to go all in, if you want to call it that, to win. Jim Crane's phrase that it will never be forgotten, at least by some, is as long as I'm here, the window's open. So part of that window being open is trading guys away. And at the time you're trading Willie Abreu, you have Kyle Tucker. Now, maybe you should have had the foresight to know you were never going to pay Kyle Tucker what he was going to be worth, but maybe you didn't think much of Willie Abreu as a prospect. So a lot of it plays into it. Maybe he's far exceeding your expectations, and that is to the Red Sox benefit, unfortunately. And as I mentioned, the other former Astro there playing pretty well now too. So we're going to get to Bregman, who doesn't struggle early, the minute he gets out of here. Because I know he went 0-for-4 that first night, and everyone's like,
see.
Get ready for it, Red Sox. This is what it is.
See, this is how it is.
And at least so far, the Bregman struggles, not a thing early in Boston. 341, two home runs, 15 hits, 10 RBIs. He's been pretty good. He's been pretty good. So, but hey, we take 2 out of 3. Thanks to Yordan. Thanks to Correa pulling a ball too much and fouling it down the line, which, look, if he takes out Montero, it's not a surprise because it's Montero, but that makes it, I believe, 9-5. That game is probably over, although the Astros were getting hot late, and Yordan capped it off, and then they put two more on in the top of the 10th to win it. So just some food for thought. I probably won't mention Willie Abreu much going forward.
He's not going to be like at the forefront of your mind too much?
Unlikely, unless he comes in here and has a big game. And then I will, they traded Christian Vasquez for that guy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I mean, they traded for Christian Vasquez for that guy, yeah. Let's just hope that no matter what he does, he doesn't do it at Daikin Park.
Just please. Yeah. Just don't do it there.
Yeah, because there'll be stories. Not much, at least from what I remember, was thought about him when he went out. It was, hey, we got a catcher that we like. We're all in. There's always the other side. Right now, I mean, last year was Kikuchi, but I mean, the Will Wagners of the world or the Loperfidos, whatever. I just don't need another one of those. Like, oh, look at that. Loperfidos turned it around. Will Wagner's nails. Cool.
I can't handle that. I can't.
Yeah, and some people will say that the Kikuchi thing was worth it. I have always pushed back on that. I don't care how well he pitched. You didn't win anything except for the division. But that's not really the goal here anymore. And he's gone.
It's worth it if you win a title.
Yeah, I guess you say those three prospects weren't that good. So Kikuchi winning you or helping you win the division is fine. Okay, if they turn out not to be good, no problems here, right?
If division is the expectation, like that's what you expect to go in, right?
Yeah, that's
the expectation every season.
Kikuchi was, at least I thought, was acquired to bolster a rotation for a deep playoff run.
Yeah,
not to fight it out with the Mariners for the division title.
They've been doing that for years.
We're all used to that.
That's normal.
Yeah. So there it is. Be on the lookout for Willie Abreu if you like to hold the Astros to account. But you got to put that one on James Click. You can't put that one on Dana Brown. He was not here for that. He goes, I hear you, but that's not on me.
No.
Yeah, you want to come after me for the Tucker thing? That's on me, or maybe the owner, because he was never going to pay him. But don't bring up the Abreu thing. That's not my business. All right, we will get out of this segment here. If you want to get in on the show, you can. 713-780-3776. There's more sound from the weekend that was, including more from Kelvin Sampson. JoJo Tugler might have gone down in infamy if not for the comeback. It would have been one of those plays to remember, particularly if they had happened to lose by 1 point or something. People would remember it. You're going to hear from Kelvin Sampson when we come back on why he wasn't that upset with JoJo. We'll hear from the coach when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So we will get to the Sampson sound on Tugler. Big play that turned out to be really just, oh, I can't believe that happened, in a Cougars win over Duke as they get ready for the national title game tonight. So someone tweeted us, at least me, a question he already knew the answer to. Like, putting for the win, not a golf guy, but that's a great name for your Twitter handle. Ask me this. If you combine all of Smith's and Peretta's numbers, do they reach half of Tucker's? You know the answer to that. Stop it. You know. You know they don't match. Yeah, just asking questions you already know. No, they don't. They have been poor at the plate. Peretta's better than Smith, but they haven't been great. And Tucker's been really good for the Cubs. Cut it out. You know better.
They could, right? No. Yeah.
Anyone who's watched them play knows that their numbers don't match up. They're far below him. And Tucker's a great player. We knew. That's why it was a problem that he was going to leave for nothing. You don't want to let a great player leave for nothing. And Dana Brown did what he could. And coming into the year, can't believe he got three starters. Did he get three starters?
Did he?
Because whenever, and by the way, did McCullers pitch over the weekend? I was going to say, whenever McCullers comes back, Wesneski's probably not going to be in the rotation as long as McCullers is fine. And Cam Smith is, sure, he was their opening day right fielder. But how long and how many opportunities is he going to get? How long will he be out there? How many opportunities will he get? I wasn't expecting him to come in and beat up on Major League pitching. That's why it was such a big deal when he hit a home run against a Major League pitcher, because the value of the pitchers he faced was below Double-A. I'm not putting this on Cam Smith. It's what the Astros put him in because of their lack of viable options, at least a start, in the outfield. So, putting for the win. Come on. I appreciate it, but you know. You're the one who reminded me to do the Tucker tracker. You know good and well that those numbers don't match up. One is a legit star who, I don't know if he's getting Vlad money, 14 for $500 million, but he's going to get money, a lot of it, and you got Perez is fine, and Cam's a rookie, so cut it out. I can't see the name there. Is that Mike?
It's Mike.
All right, we'll get to Mike, and then we'll get into some more Cougs stuff. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Dell. Hey, I've been looking at, like, Twitter and stuff today and then reading some of Chandler Rome's articles, which, man, that guy, he seems insufferable to me. I don't know. Maybe he thinks he knows that. I don't. The way he writes about the Astros is kind of crazy. But the whole Tucker thing, what are we, 10 games in the season? The argument that he's, you know, a stud right now, it's fine. But do we actually think he's going to stay, like, healthy off season? You know, I mean, this is just, I know it's Astros, and I know, like, Astros fans, every game is everything to them, but I mean, we're not even 1 month into the season yet. You know what I mean? Like, you're expecting to stay hot this long. Bregman's already broke his nose over there in Boston, so I think we'll be okay. Yes, Paredes looks. Cam Smith looks like he's just trying to figure it out. Paredes looks bad. He just looks a little bit lost. Even Christian Walker, he doesn't look the best either. But I think give them some time and it should be okay. Hey, and the second thing I was going to say is with the Cougars, hey, another thing that I wanted to touch on, I think it was a huge moment, was that block that Juwan had on Cyan James. Okay, when he blocked him and then Cyan, like, or Cyan, however you say his name, slammed the back of his head on the ground because he blocked him so ferociously. I think that was like a huge turning point in the game because they had a lot of momentum going on at that point. And when he blocked him and he had to come out for a little bit, kind of a crazy thing. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't do like a concussion protocol or anything on him. I don't know what the rules are in basketball, but he slammed his head down. Like, the back of his head just slammed on the ground. I don't know if you remember that or not. I don't know. I was just seeing what you thought about that. Also, I guess, what time is the Killer Bees going to be at Treasures today for their remote location? Because I was going to try to go out there and see them.
I don't believe they'll be at Treasures. They're going to be at FAO, right?
Yeah, they're at FAO in Midtown.
Yeah, don't believe Treasures will be on the itinerary.
They're not in our rotation, though.
Killer Bees. I mean, we do take money from almost anyone.
I mean, there was a time,
yes,
where we might have done something like that.
Now, I wasn't a part of the station because the station was different. Like, there was a 1560 before, and then there was a 975. So Michael was part of the 975 days where they might have taken on a Treasures or something of that ilk.
I'm not going to confirm or deny that I helped produce a show that broadcast live from there on a Saturday night.
Yeah, so
I can't confirm or deny that.
So maybe Mike is one of those 97.5 listeners and remembers. But the Killer Bees won't be there. They'll be at FAO. You should go out there. It's a different vibe.
It's a way different vibe.
But they'll get you ready for the tournament action. It's going to be a good night here, hopefully, in town.
And it's a really cool spot. Like, I'm not trying to, like, just be biased here, but it's just a really cool spot to check out the game or play games or whatever.
Yeah. You can watch the games. You can, as Michael let you know, you can play arcade games there as well. It's going to be a good time. Go out there and see the guys starting at noon. Paul's going to be out there to get everything started. What else did he mention? Yes, I did see the block. And, you know, Sion James or Sion, I think it's Sion, right?
I think it's Sion.
Sion James. He was the inbounder who was being harassed the last 2 minutes of the game, and he didn't really come through that very well. Was that to do with that injury? I don't know. I saw the block. It was nasty. The block and the head hitting the ground like that. Concussion protocol, not sure how they treat it in the NCAA, but they ruled him okay to play. He, along with the rest of that Duke team, did not handle adversity well. And JoJo Tugler caused himself his own version of adversity when he slapped the ball out of James's hand, which you cannot do when the guy's standing out of bounds trying to inbound the basketball. It resulted in a technical. Duke made it 67-61, and those were the final points Duke scored in that game. Cougs, from that point on, went on a 9-0 run. Here is Kelvin Sampson on that play, and he also goes into them getting back in it.
He is such a big heart. Such a big heart. I didn't get mad at him. Matter of fact, normally if you get a technical, I take you out. But that was born out of effort and wanting to do the right thing. But it's only one free throw. And it still was a two-possession game. So there was no need to foul. You know, we're a miss one and one or a miss free throw or whatever. Got a couple stops. The only thing I did different was switch who was on the ball offensively. Put Emmanuel Sharp on the ball. Their best defender was Proctor and James, and they had them on LJ and Milos. So I didn't want to put either one of those guys in the ball screen, so I put Emmanuel in the ball screen. So Emmanuel got in the paint. And once you get in the paint and you get the ball in the rim, if it goes in, awesome. If not, it's a geography rebound. Ball's not going to bounce out to the free throw line. It's going to bounce up around the rim. And those are the ones we can go tip in or get out and dagger out for a three. So I just like the way we kept our composure and trusted our culture.
So a lot of the talk around the game was about the emotions and Duke not handling pressure and the Cougs scrapping and clawing and not giving up. And that's part of it. But there was some coaching going on as well. You heard Kelvin Sampson talk about the adjustments he made and understanding that with how Duke was defending him, maybe another person needed to bring up the ball and handle it. So, yes, the giant story is Cougs' resilience, and that's instilled by the people that Kelvin Sampson recruits and that program as a whole. But, you know, the coach doing a little coaching out there too, making moves to put his team in the best position. And they fully took advantage of what he put out there for them, and also maybe the youth of Duke as they win that game. Just a game where everything felt bad. He just felt, oh no, not this. It wasn't to the level of the Baylor game, but it was just a departure from who we thought this team was and what they had shown us all year long until they showed us in minutes that everything they had been all year was still there. And it took a while for it to happen. But I will say, they didn't let Duke run them out of the gym. As poorly as the shots, as the shot-making was early, and as much as Cooper Flagg was having his moment early in the second half and midway through it, the Cougs kept themselves in a spot where if things started to turn, they were in a position. It wasn't like when Tennessee turned it on and the Cougs struggled a little bit. Tennessee was still down by 9-10 points. And if the Cougs knocked down a couple threes, the game's completely over. They were in a spot where, hey, we turn this up a little bit. We force a couple turnovers, make a couple shots, get a couple stops. Duke, even if they make a shot or we commit a silly technical foul with the free throw, we're not going to be out of it. So you want to credit them even before the comeback for keeping in arm's length until they were ready to make a move. I'm not a horse racing fan, but you want to say that's it's very much like a finishing kick in a horse race. At a time where Duke was struggling, Houston had something left, and that's why they're playing Florida tonight for a national title. Back to another thing that Mike said about the Astros. That is my issue with baseball people as a whole. Like, they're going to tell you that there's 162 of these, but then they're going to talk about, I can't believe this is happening in game 15 or whatever of the season. Game, and not even that many games this year. So the what's happening with Bregman and, well, I don't know if he broke his nose. If he did, it didn't affect him on Sunday or last night. And Tucker, he mentioned Tucker and his health. Tucker was injured last year, but that has been what he has been throughout his career. He played 150 games in 2022, 157 in 2023, 140 in 2021. So he has been a durable player for the most part for the Astros. Just last year was one where he wasn't, and then of course he didn't get a chance to redeem himself in the postseason, because they only played the two games. So if he plays 150-plus games for the Cubs, don't be surprised. That's kind of been who he has been. As far as Bregman, I do find it a little perturbing that he's gotten off to a hot start. That's, hey, what are you doing? Cut that out. I wasn't expecting you to be bad over the course of your Red Sox career, but at least give me this. Give me, look, Red Sox fans, you thought you've got one up on us. Look at what happens when Bregman, once you pay attention to him early in the year. Instead, we get Bregman wearing that stupid mascot's head as he's celebrating the home run in the dugout last night. Great. Having all the fun.
Dumb mascot head.
Not posing, staring the camera down. None of that. Orbit, you missed out, apparently. Orbit.
Dang, Orbit.
You could have had Bregman in your dumb head if you would have thought of it. Instead, he's doing it for the Red Sox. Oh well. The Astros will be fine, right?
Yeah.
Right? They'll be fine.
Yeah.
They ain't losing all that star power. They'll be fine, right? Right. And with that very obvious not sure about things into the segment, we're going to cut a break. We got a couple more segments to go. If you want to get in, you can. Or maybe you're on your way to FAO to hang out with Paul and then the Killer Bees. You can do that as well. But either way, we'll be here for until noon. We'll be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We just got word that we're going to be out at Highland Pines. And by we, I mean myself and Lance. John will be in LA. This is John's thing, by the way. And we're going to go out there to Porter. And let's just say he's reveling. Not that it won't be a good time for, and what we're doing is for a great cause, but he's going to be sitting in LA while Lance drives from very near the station to Porter, and I drive from League City.
So it's very thoughtful of John.
To laugh? Yes, very thoughtful of him. And well, it's gonna be a full week of this. We're out at East River 9 on Thursday as well. So, with Paul and the Killer Bees out at FAO, and then a Killer Bee, right? Not
Yeah, a killer
not
bee.
Not the killer bees. A killer bee will be out there.
The other killer bee is, you know,
San Antonio.
San Antonio.
He's got a job he's got to do, I guess. But Joel will be out there after he'll follow Paul. And then I think the whole station is at East River 9 on Thursday. So a busy week for us.
And St. Arnold on Friday.
Yeah, so there it is. I generally don't think about the things I'm not involved in.
I understand.
I will have to mention it on the Friday show. So thanks for that. Now I'll remember that. But yeah, the group chat is still going off, and he's laughing. Apparently, I'm getting word that maybe I don't have to go. We'll see.
Oh.
Or maybe Lance doesn't know that how things are scheduled. He assumes I don't have to go. But uh-oh. I think I do have to go.
I think you do have to go.
Because no one's trusting him to set up anything.
I mean, we don't. Yeah, I don't know.
No one's trusting him. But oh well. We'll be out in Porter we'll talk about it more, but it's for a good cause. It's just certainly a long drive. But hey, if that's the worst thing that's going to happen to me this week, how can I complain? Speaking of making a trip, my dad came back in from Nigeria. He spent like the night in Atlanta because flights were delayed, so he had to sleep at the airport. But once again, this is about me, not anyone else. So he got over it. He's in town. Michael, have you ever seen, but as I was driving to the airport, I stop at a light, getting off the highway, driving, about to make that left, a left to get to Hobby. Have you ever seen a person shame a homeless or unhoused person before?
No.
In the scenario where they're maybe you're at a light and they're going to, you know, ask for money, so on and so forth. The easy thing to do if you don't want to give them money is to keep your window rolled up, don't look at them, and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
This person, this older white man, got out of his car. First, he rolled down his window and chucked something at him, like a small thing. I don't know what it was. And then he got out of his car.
So he threw out of the window
something,
and
then gets out of his car, closes the door, and berates the unhoused gentleman for as long as we were at the light. I was listening to a podcast, so I didn't hear it. And then I was like, wait a minute, this is still going on. Let me turn this podcast down and roll down my window. I could not hear what he was saying, but it was enough that the look on this gentleman's face, the unhoused man's face, he went from surprise to shame. He went from, I can't believe this is happening, to a level of shame that I've never seen from a person who's unhoused, who's just simply, I think, asked for money. It's almost as if this guy he knew, like maybe it was his dad or something. I don't know. I was rolling it around in my head, trying to figure out why the unhoused person would just sit here and take it. Okay, let's add some context as well. It was raining, so that made it look even worse.
Oh, God.
And also, he couldn't, like, stand up on his own. He had one of those kind of almost a walker thing where you can sit in it and also push it. He had one of those. Didn't stop the old guy from yelling at him, though. This went on for about, it probably felt like 5 minutes to me, but it was more a minute and a half, too, because the light has to change. But for the time he could, he got out of his car, yelled at him, berated at him, and the guy just kept sinking lower and lower, like his esteem kept sinking as he kept getting yelled at. It felt like when your dad is yelling at you about how disappointed he is in you, or your mom, and you can't fight it because you know it's true. That's the context clues for me, because I couldn't hear it. But I have never seen that happen before, where it's just two straight minutes of yelling and berating, and nothing is said from the person you're yelling at, or the unhoused guy. He just sat there. All right. And then he sat down in his I don't know what you actually call those things, but he sat down and just looked, as I was driving by, he just looked as depressed as I've ever seen someone in that spot before. And, you know, that's a depressing spot if you're asking for money at that point. So I don't know what that connection was, but it got to the dude. And I've never seen that before.
I never have ever seen something like that or heard of something like that. Was the guy like the same? Because you were saying it was an older white man that got out.
Yeah.
Was the and I assume because the guy was in a walker or had a walker, older guy as well, I would imagine.
He was the guy.
The guy that got berated.
Oh, I didn't even mention that. He was in his maybe late 20s, early 30s.
Oh.
He wasn't old. That's why I thought maybe that was this guy's dad or family member, that he would take that type of tongue lashing and not do anything about it. Because if if not related, you might start a, maybe he pushes back. I'm not saying there'll be a physical altercation, but not a word. Just that
has to be related.
I think so.
Like, it's got to be a, like a situation where it's like, I've told you, you know, you can come home or go, you know, I don't know. It's just there's, because I have a neighbor that has to deal with something like that where their son has chosen an unhoused way to live because of drugs and other stuff.
Yeah.
But it has to be. Like, why are you getting out berating someone?
I mean, it wasn't like, I was trying to think, did the guy come up on the car and get close and he was upset about it? But from what I can tell, I mean, relax, you're driving a Subaru or something. Whatever. But it wasn't like some, I don't know what would drive him to that. It did. And I had, like I said.
Wild.
First time I've ever seen it. And the other thing that popped up is different. Like, as I said, I was listening to a podcast. I was just listening to Armchair Expert, which is a Dax Shepard thing. If you don't know him, he was once on Punk'd. He was also on Parenthood. He's the husband of Kristen Bell. Shout out to Kristen Bell. One of those ones, if you know. Veronica Mars. But I was, because I got the car, and of course, you have the CarPlay, or I forgot what Apple officially calls it, but whatever it is, you plug your phone into it, and then it pops up on the screen. And I'm listening to the podcast, and it shows a picture. Every episode of Armchair Expert shows a picture of the person that's on. And my dad goes, what's she doing now? And I was like, what do you mean? He was interviewing Lauren Graham, one of his co-actors from Parenthood. I was like, how does my dad know who Lauren Graham is? How does the 77-year-old Nigerian man know who Lauren Graham is? Did he watch Bad Santa? Is that how he found out who she was? I didn't ask because I was so shocked.
Now I just picture him going, let me watch Bad Santa today.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Is he a Gilmore Girls fan? Did he like Parenthood? How does he know who she is?
Secretly, he's binged all of.
Yeah, because when he first got in the car, Dax and his co-host Monica were interviewing Isa. Is it Isa or Isa Gonzalez?
Isa Gonzalez.
Isa Gonzalez. She has a new movie out. He didn't know who she was, but he knew who Lauren Graham was. What's she doing now? And he goes, I don't know. She's maybe acting, directing. I'm not sure what she's doing. He's like, sorry, I didn't have her IMDb pulled up, Dad. So I'm still going to go with the unhoused man being berated by someone who could have been his dad is the most shocking thing that happened to me on Saturday. And then my dad is second, and then the Cougs winning is third.
I understand that ranking. I get it.
What is Lauren Graham up to now? It's not even like it's Julia Roberts. Like, Lauren Graham's had a great career, but it ain't a person I would assume he would just know.
Did he, like, think it was somebody else, maybe?
I don't think so, because you can see her face, and, you know, it's the name of the other person is coming across on the screen. He knew who it was. He just wanted to know what Lorelai Gilmore was up to. Still working, Dad. still working. So maybe there's a Lauren Graham rewatch going on right now as I speak. Who knows? He's at home right now. Okay, we'll go to break here. We'll get into a little bit more of what happened with the Cougs, because national title game tonight. And also, great moments from Saturday night. So we'll get into a couple things from there before we wrap it up. We got one more segment here to go before Paul Gallant and the Killer Bees follow him out at FAO.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
Not close, really, but I appreciate the thought, Michael.
I thought it was... no? Okay.
No.
All right.
I'm sure they're warmer where they are than we generally are here.
Oh, we're freezing.
Yeah.
All the time.
Just how it goes. We're going to be out and about, you know, really pretty much all week. We're going to be out at East River 9 on Thursday, the entire station, and then on Friday... the guys are going to be out at St. Arnold's from 12 to 6, St. Arnold Brewery. But tomorrow, we're going to be out at Highland Pines, for a tournament being put on by Mercy Gate Church. So they are a church and they're putting on something for a great cause, Convoy of Hope. So you can go to convoyofhope.org to donate right now. So it'll be me and Lance out there. John will be doing the show from L.A., but it'll be us from 7 to noon doing stuff for a great cause, convoyofhope.org. You can check out the website there and donate today. Thanks to Mercy Gate Church for having us out there. Should be a good time. I mean, we're out there maybe a year or so ago, maybe less than that a little bit. From what I could tell, I'm not a golfer. I couldn't tell you what's great or what's not. All the reviews from people who either came on with us or were talking about it with John, love the course. So we're going to go out there for a great cause. So you can listen to that and us tomorrow. Okay, but I do want you to listen to this because Jamal Shedd was the fulcrum of everything the Cougs did over the last several years. He is now torturing opposing point guards with the Toronto Raptors. And he does have a couple of Duke teammates who he's going to have a little fun with. But here's Jamal Shedd, and this is from the Toronto Raptors socials. They just filmed him watching the game. So I took the best parts of it, put it together. Here's Jamal Shedd reacting to the final stretch as the Cougs beat Duke on Saturday night.
That's my roommate. Oh yeah. Let's go! No! Let's go! Let's go!
Oh, I'm gonna go sleep. Good.
He did call it.
This game today, Houston is gonna win.
It's our first trip to the national championship game since freaking Hakeem was there.
Yes, sir.
Walk them down, baby. You already know what's happening. Go Cougs, baby. I'm so proud of you boys. It's not over yet. Go get Coach Sampson's first one. D.I. gotta wear that jersey.
You heard a couple things. Darko is the coach of the Raptors, and the clip you heard, that little clip, was him telling the team that the Cougars are going to win. And, of course, at the very end, you heard Jamal Shedd say, B.I.'s got to wear that jersey. B.I. is a recent Toronto acquisition. They made a trade for Brandon Ingram, who went to Duke, and there's another Dukie on that roster too, R.J. Barrett. So in a follow-up clip from their social team, they show R.J. Barrett walking in with a face like, and then they have a little fun as Jamal Shedd calls them losers. These my two losers.
That's great.
Because Ingram and Barrett went to Duke. So we talk about Hakeem and let's allow Hakeem on the floor of the Cougs win tonight. Let's not make that an issue like it was on Saturday night.
And don't let it happen again.
Yeah, of course, other guys who were part of what you would have called the glory years, but the new glory years, Jamal Shedd's one of those dudes. And I jokingly mentioned that Rob Gray might have trouble getting on if he's there, but Rob Gray was one of the guys who started this thing. It was a painful memory now, but of course, Jordan Poole was on the other side of it, but Rob Gray was on the team who thought they were making a Sweet 16. That was a pretty good Cougs team. And then I think it was that Sunday night? Sunday night where they thought they're going to head to the Sweet 16. Jordan Poole makes that miracle shot. I think so.
Either way,
it was Saturday, Sunday, but that was a team who was one of the teams who was really getting it going for Kelvin Sampson. We kind of ran down the injuries that have gotten in their way over the course of this run. And look at that. The first time really in years that they don't have a significant injury, they make it to a Final Four, now the national title game. So that Jamal Shedd, one of the Cougar legends, and certainly all in on the team. Does Toronto play tonight? Is he going to have to be? Can he ask out like Michael wants to do for tomorrow? Does Jamal Shedd have to play tonight while his Cougs are playing? I think he might have. They played yesterday, so maybe not. Nope, Jamal has the day off. Now he's not flying in. Although who cares? The Raptors win any more games. They should probably just let him, but they have the Hornets at home on Wednesday, so he'll be able to watch the game and not have to worry about it. So that's good. So there it is, Jamal Shedd. He's going to go down. You heard, I don't think we played the clip. We might have played him in the morning. Kelvin Sampson talked about the transition from Jamal to Milos and the different things they provide. That dude, and I'm talking about Jamal Shedd, for where he was as a player, he was one of those guys that had to fill in when guys got injured. He did that admirably, and then it became his show, and he just went from there. And now he'll get to watch his coach and his program go try to win a national title. You don't get a lot of these. I mean, sure, the Blue Bloods get them, and now Houston's elevating themselves to a place where they're always going to be pretty much a contender. But still, the obstacles that have been in their way to get there, and what felt like an insurmountable one on Saturday, now you're playing for it all. think back to 2014, man, when they hired Kelvin Sampson, a guy who was an accomplished coach, was in the NBA because he had to because of recruiting violations, and now look at him. Look at the program. The combination of Kelvin Sampson as a coach and then Tillman Fertitta decided, you know what, I like this school. How much money do you want? That combo is pretty lethal. That all the things that Tillman has done to build facilities around there and infrastructure, and then you hire the coach and you kind of just say, get out of the way. Like, some boosters won't get out of the way. They put money in. I don't know the ins and outs of everything that's going on with the Cougs, but I don't hear a lot of Tillman Fertitta mucking about and messing things up. And why would you when you have Kelvin Sampson as a coach? It helps to have an established guy who wins, and it's easy to listen to when he says, this is how it should go. And we're at the pinnacle tonight. Let's see if they can get over the hump and be at the top of college basketball. I don't know what Ian Eagle has in store if the Cougs win. What call? Because we all know Jim Nance always had something. If the Cougs had won, would he have been able to get through it? He's a consummate professional. But if he was calling a national title win for the Cougs, is he breaking down? I think his journalistic background says, I'm getting through this and I'm not messing this up. He's probably had that thing in his back pocket for a decade. Just so happens he won't be able to do it on the broadcast, but he will be talked to a lot if they win. So he'll have a soliloquy about what it means. It'll be up to Ian Eagle to not mess it up.
It's up to you, Ian Eagle.
Yeah.
Don't screw this up,
set,
okay?
Set a good example for your son, Noah, who's one of those dudes who went – I don't want to call it nepotism, because Ian Eagle has to be – Ian Eagle can't get – he might be able to help Noah Eagle because of the name, but Noah Eagle actually has to go out there and do play-by-play, and he's just fine at it. This is me because I don't really judge play-by-play guys, but he keeps getting jobs. I don't think it's because Noah Eagle is his dad. At least not now. Look at Sean back there. Sean is a he notices nepotism. Apparently he doesn't like Noah that much.
You don't like Noah?
Not as a person. He's against nepotism. I think that's what the thumbs down was for. So Noah Eagle has to prove more than he would to a normal person because Sean is all out on nepotism.
Do it in the playoffs.
Well, you mean he did it in the Final Four on Saturday.
That was Ian.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Oh, you're right.
The guy who's actually good.
No, you're right. You're right. I got it confused. That is Ian. I said Ian had to come through. It was Ian. Noah Eagle, either he used to be the Clippers guy or he still is.
No, he's doing Notre Dame football.
Ah, who cares about Notre Dame?
Where nepotism goes to die.
Talk to Jack Collinsworth about that.
Yeah.
It is. Did Notre Dame or NBC notice that? Like, hey, we're just going to hire the children of famous broadcasters, and that's just going to be our thing. What's Tirico's kid up to?
I think they noticed when they were doing it that they hired Chris Collinsworth's son.
And they're like, oh, maybe this was a mistake.
They hired a McCourty brother.
At least the McCourtys were ex-ballers.
They got out the mud.
Jack Collinsworth is like, my dad owes a part of PFF, so let's give him. I get a job.
Chris Sims.
But yeah, I was going to say. Phil was for a long time. Well, once again, Chris Sims has the benefit of being not a great NFL quarterback. Hell, maybe not even a great college quarterback. But at least he has a name and he played the sport. That always is going to help you out. Then you throw in the fact that you're son of a Super Bowl winner. Wrap it up. I don't know what Jack Collinsworth is doing. Chris never won a Super Bowl. He was on some pretty good Bengals teams, though. Okay, we're done for the day. The guys are out at FAO. Paul Gallant, and then one of the Killer Bees, because the other one, speaking of calling games, has a job to do tonight. But since we're done for the day, Michael, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did do it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.